in a world where all right seems wrong and wrong seems right. Where am I? Why does today feel like it's the past? Is it my past life memories? Where am I? Oh, I know, right where I just started from. But haven't I done this before?
Deja vu.
Hello. This is the American Prince Charles III, and we have on the phone line one of the most awesome requested guys always to come on the show, and that is Pilo and Cali. Pilo, what's going on with you?
Hey, man. Hello, guys. I'm doing good right here, close to my house right here at a park.
Oh, that sounds like a fun place to be. Don't say where you are, because you know you're such a celebrity. You don't want people to run over there and ask for your autographs and all these things. But you got
drinking coffee.
You got a park in Las Vegas, right?
Yeah, the park in Las Vegas.
All right,
looking at the view and drinking coffee.
So you are drinking coffee from where?
It's called Dutch Bros. Delicious coffee, man. Dutch Bros. Okay. Yeah, man. Good coffee.
I never heard of them. Are they from L.A. or where they're from?
I believe they're from Oregon. Oregon. They just came to Vegas, and I passed by, you know, to go check them out. And, yeah, man, I told them it was my first time. And
they gave you a free coffee?
Yeah, they gave me a free coffee. So,
oh, wow. I think I better take a flight.
Thank you, Dutch Bros, for the coffee, man. It was very delicious.
That's awesome. I better take a flight to Vegas and go over there and tell them, hey, this is my first time getting Dutch Bro coffee.
Yeah.
And get me a free coffee.
Try it out. Maybe get a free coffee. I don't know if they're doing it still, you know?
Yeah, well, I tell you, I used to live in Oak Harbor, Washington, because I was stationed there in Whidbey Island, Washington. I was in the Navy. And I would drive. You had two ways to go to Seattle. You can go across the harbor, where you have to take the Mukilteo Ferry, or Townsmith Ferry, one of those type ferries. You drive your car on the boat, and it'll take you across the water, and then you'll be there. You drive off the boat, and you're there in Seattle, like within 30 minutes. Or you can drive. Yeah, you can drive it, and you drive all the way around. You go through Marysville and all these Everett, Washington, and all these other little cities to get to Seattle. And that'll take about an hour and 20 minutes. It's a huge difference. It's a huge difference. But when I got to Seattle, I got what they had, Seattle's best coffee, which was really, really good. Yeah, it was a very good coffee.
You didn't know?
Now that you say that, I used to live there too.
Really?
You know, I did half of my 9th grade year over there. And
in Seattle?
The school was called Foster High School. And nice. I believe it's in Tequila.
Yeah. You ever heard of... Now, Tacoma, I know they have Tacoma.
Tequila or Tacoma, man. Sorry about that.
Well, you know, 9th grade. So.
This coffee got me talking different.
Tacoma. Tacoma is nice, yeah. Yeah.
And
you can have a tequila in Tacoma.
I used to like going to the Space Needle.
Oh, you know what? That is really, really cool. Do you know that Space Needle turns around very slowly?
It turns around.
360. You make a complete circle after, I don't know how, maybe an hour or so, or I don't know. But you can sit up there and eat in the restaurant. At least you used to, you know, prior COVID. Go up there, sit down, eat. And as you're eating, your scenery is constantly changing. And it's really That's amazing. Awesome. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah,
so.
Technology is just amazing.
Which brings us to that. You wanted to talk today about technology, right?
Yes.
Let's do this. We can talk about some pros and some cons of technology, and especially because I want to put this on the Veterans Depot today. We're going to use this platform, and I may share it also with my council life. But I tell you, and maybe even deja vu, because we're going to have a couple of themes here. You know, those three platforms are going to cross over in this one episode here. So, I know for the military, let's start out with the Veterans Depot portion. With the military, okay,
correct.
We are constantly, and I say we, but I'm retired now. I did 20 years in the Navy, but I still say we because I'm still part of it. we were constantly, and we are still constantly evolving, changing with technology for weapons, missiles, you know, submarines, the ships, the airplanes, even, you know, and other things maybe I can't even mention on the air. They're constantly changing. Technology is constantly pushing the military forward. And that is a wonderful thing. That's a pro. That's a good thing because
definitely it's a good thing.
You know, we have our enemies out there, those there who are, you know, unfortunately want to do harm to America and its allies. You know, we have to stay up with technology just to even monitor. What I mean by monitor, that's also dealing with sensors in the oceans and in the sky, in the air, in space, and in the ground. Yeah. We have to deal with telephones, different types of communications. So what do you think about, how do you think technology is going to improve in the future? I know you don't know for a fact, but if you had a guess, what type of guesses would you make with technology improving for the military?
For the military, maybe electrical guns. I don't know.
Oh, that's good. I didn't think about that.
You know, it's some type of
like Star Wars. Gun.
Yeah, like Star Wars.
Or Star Trek.
I think maybe they go in that route. And maybe in combat, maybe they'll throw a robot instead of a human. Just to less people dying.
Well, you know, that is so true. You said that, you know, they are having more and more unmanned drones. Now, speaking of that, you have this beautiful, expensive big drone you have. This thing is great. Now, that's unmanned, right? And go ahead.
I got a Phantom 4 Pro Plus.
That thing
and
is
it's bad. It's a beautiful drone, you know, maybe came out maybe 5 years ago or like 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it shoots 4K at 60 frames per second. And the technology is just beautiful. You know, you can take a lot of aerial pictures and video.
That's amazing. And I saw it and I was like, geez, this thing looks like it costs a house. It was really, really neat. But,
it was very expensive. I don't know now, but when I got it, it was very expensive. And, you know, it's a piece of tool that's going to help me, you know,
get these
footage as a filmmaker. You know what I mean? I need the best stuff out there. So.
Well, that's so true.
That's a good thing for technology. Yeah.
And with the military, let's say we put a drone out there doing things. Well, we already have drones. They already have unmanned flying airplanes for the military. And that's declassified. People know that. So I could talk about that. They have these sort of things, right? And the reason for that, so they don't put human lives at stake in high stake areas. If they need to go and do a reconnaissance or they need to go and investigate or whatever they need to do, explore. They're not putting human lives at risk. They are putting machine. As expensive as they are, but if they go down, they can be replaced. Human lives can't. Human lives can't. So I think that's amazing. And you mentioned the guns, right? And I didn't think about that. That is really, really something to think about because I think each day, we are heading more and more towards an electronic world.
Yeah.
Which electronic weapons will be part of it.
Yeah. Look at Tesla, what they're doing with their cars, you know, electric cars, beautiful car, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think the world's going to change to the better. So,
and the battery technology for these cars are just being unmatched nowadays. They're going farther and farther and farther without having the need of gasoline and diesel.
That's the point that I'm trying to get. You know what I mean? Not using gasoline and, you know, polluting the world, you know? Cars, we polluting the world, and our oxygen is a beautiful thing that God created.
Sure sounds good.
And slowly but surely, you know what I mean? We destroying our planet, you know what I mean? Our oxygen and how we breathe, you know what I mean? Maybe later it's going to be harder to breathe, but the technology is going to be advanced. So,
Well, hopefully they could do more and more about, you know, removing carbon monoxide and other things that's harming us humans with the technology we are creating. But I know also with technology comes improve efficiency for business, such as you can do emails faster, communicate faster, you know.
Yeah.
And so even for businesses, this technology.
And then have your books, all your books in your phone, you know, that's a lot of beautiful thing.
You know, when you and I were in the film school, when we were in school, where we met, we had our school books. We had maybe what, two or three books issued. That was it. Everything else.
Correct.
Were all the other things were online for us to go log in,
yeah,
and get our digital books. So that's what you're leading to right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Correct. You know what I mean? And then you have everything in order. You know what I mean? But the suck thing is like people don't want to buy books no more, but yeah, that's how they had us in film school, and it was good, you know, for, you know.
Well, it was sort of weird to me because it was good, but it felt weird because I'm old school. You know, I'm used to carrying books. If I'm going to school, I'm used to carrying books. But I understand that technology is doing away with those books. And it's actually it's conserving trees because they don't have to cut down all the trees to get the paper to make the books. So that's technology moving in a way to help us, you know.
And I feel maybe destroying us too, because, you know, you on the laptop 24/7, and then what's going to happen? You have to get bigger glasses. You have to spend more on your children now for glasses. So it's good and bad, you know. So that's what's going on, you know.
Think about this as well. Now we have cell phones. These cell phones today are amazing, and they are getting faster and faster and faster. They have over 1 billion transistors in one cell phone, I was told. 1 billion transistors. Now they didn't have that many transistors in the first launch for the shuttle to go to the moon. They didn't have that many transistors in the whole computer that did that. That's what they said. So what we're walking around with, even our children, and just with something in our hands that can launch more than one space shuttle to the moon. It has the it has the power to do that. A cell phone, the computing power. Communication way back in the day, they were using pigeons and birds to communicate. Think about that. They'll tie a little note to the bird's foot, you know, and off you go and pray and hope anything doesn't get you.
It'll come back.
It'll come back with my answer, right? But if you think about that, technology has brought us to a new awakening here. It's moving at such a speed, it is equal to lightning, if you ask me. It's at that speed, the speed of lightning.
Yeah.
You know, and now the con to that. Oh, go ahead. Yeah. What you gonna say?
Well, maybe it's moving too fast for us. You know, now that you're saying that, we need to slow down.
Yeah.
Maybe one day, just drop the phone and go grab a book and do the old school stuff, you know, because it, in the long run, it's going to affect, you know what I mean?
Oh,
I feel like
sure
the COVID-19 now, it's affecting our kids. Now there's not that many kids going to the parks,
right?
You know, playing.
I don't see a lot of kids on bicycles.
Yeah. Or in skateboards, you know, you know, and, they're stuck on their phone and video games and, you know, it's normal, you know what I mean? COVID-19, their parents want to keep them in there, safe and sound. So, but at the same time, you know, it's affecting it's affecting us, you know what I mean? As parents, as, you know, the kids, you know,
Well, you know, you're hitting on something that I was going to say about the con. The con is an extreme dependability. When we depend on something so much, what happens if it goes down in a fluke or something happens where we can't get that communication? We are lost. Mm-hmm. How many times when I was growing up, I used to always remember my friends' phone numbers. I used to call a time phone number. I can get that. And, you know, if I need the time of the day, the temperature and all that stuff, there's a number I can call and it'll give me all that. And I remembered all those numbers.
What?
Now, what we do, we put them in a phone in our contacts and we hit dial, speed dial, right? Or the same with maps. I remember we had to learn how to read a map in school. And then we might as well just put that in the back seat thanks to Google Maps and the navigation system, right? And our cell phone. Our cell phone has the navigation built in it. If we get lost or if we think we're going to go somewhere we don't know, we just pop it in our cell phone and off we go.
What you say?
Whoopie-doo, right? So
what you say?
It's just the dependability of it. It can be dangerous if, you know, we need to exercise our brains.
Definitely. I mean, I think we need to exercise our brains and instead of being in the technology, just you know, put it down for a couple of hours and go see life different again, you know, and
right, and then go ahead.
Yeah, no, because this messing us up, you know. We're not exercising. We're staying home. We gain weight. You know, diabetes comes, more problems to our health. So that's the reason why I kind of, we're talking about this subject because, you know, it's good to drop your phone and start walking, you know, at least 30 minutes. So especially in these hard times, you know.
Yeah, you have to keep the heart going, keep the lungs pumping, keep the blood flowing. And I tell you, another con is, you know, shortage of human jobs when it's replaced with this technology. These robots taking my job. I can't even find a place to work because the robots got it. You know, a lot of people be like, oh, man, I can't get a job because this machine is doing everything. Well, yeah. I mean, but that's the cost. That's the trade-off. We have the ease, the speed, and the flexibility of a machine versus humans getting laid off, you know? So, it's now they're going to have a few humans there to program and operate the machines, some of them. Some machines are more and more becoming more independent on their own. Like you said, the Tesla cars, Audis, Lexus, Cadillac, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, all these cars, Chevy, Ford, all these guys, Toyota, Nissan, all these guys, they are Hyundai, Kia, all these guys are investing in autonomous driving vehicles now, and they're driving themselves. And Lincoln, you know, everybody is doing it. And I'm like, wow, this is really, really cool. And they have a new car company coming out, and man, I cannot remember the name of it, but it's a new car company is on the horizon. Let me see if I can put it in here. New car company.
Yeah, maybe it's there's so many, I don't know.
Let's see if I see it here. No.
The American Prince Charles III car.
Oh, yeah. I buy it for a dollar. I don't see it here, but there's a new car company that's coming out, and they actually had the commercial on TV. And I said, wow, there's another new car company. It's a whole new name. So when you guys listen out for it, guys. It's on the horizon. It's coming out. I think it's mid-2021. And you know, I was thinking about Mazda has a lot of cars that's also going to be driving themselves, and so it's everybody's getting into this game. Jaguar, Tata Motors, who bought Jaguar and Range Rover and all these sort of companies, Bentley, Rolls Royce, all these car companies, everybody's getting into it, including motorcycles. Now they're not going to drive themselves, but the motorcycles are getting navigation systems all in them, and they're getting ABS, automatic braking systems, and all this stuff like a car, but it's on a two-wheel motorcycle. So, you know, Cadillac just released, I don't know if you've heard about it, they just released it, and you can go and look on YouTube and other places to find it and see it. Their first flying car.
That's awesome.
It's going to be, looks like a drone almost, with three engines, three of those little round blades that turn, kind of look like pancake blades, and they're turning. Yeah. It's like three of them, or maybe four. Look like three to me. But they're lifting up, and they're going, and they could just take you almost like you're flying your drone, but a person is sitting in it, and it's a car. And Cadillac is doing it right now. They're getting ready to release that to the public. So,
and I believe too, Amazon and Tesla, they're trying to create drones to take your mail to you. You know?
Oh, that is so cool, isn't it? I know UPS was doing it, and I think FedEx is getting on board, but absolutely they are trying to do the order and have these autonomous delivery drones bring your package to your yard and drop it off, and they're going to fly on away as long as the cat or dog don't get it. So that's what they're working on right there. So what about a malfunction? If you have a malfunction in technology, that'd definitely mess up things, won't it?
Definitely. And so, because like you said, you know, you put in all your information and technology, and who knows, one day it can crash and stuff. And because we didn't exercise our brain, you know, and restore this information in our brain, you know, because our brain is very powerful too, you know?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. They're the ones who's creating these technology, but at the same time, it's like you're releasing too much technology from your brain to, right? You know?
Right. And the brain is very powerful. And like you said, we're the one creating this stuff, but
yeah.
A lot of reasons why the technology, a lot of people will say, well, why are they even creating it in the first beginning? Why is it even done in the first beginning? Well, it's for speed and time. A lot of this technology, it's very important to help speed up production, basically. You know, if you can get more cars or more shirts or whatever industry you're in produced, that's more sales you can make.
More money.
You know, so it's about the bottom line, right? And it improves the business and time, and it helps us communicate. But when it goes awry, when it goes down hard, and you better get it back up quickly, because a lot of people hate waiting on their items. You know, so I'm one of them.
Yeah.
You know, so
me too.
Yeah. So what about video games and kids when they're playing? That's dealing with technology. You know, what do you think about that?
Well, it's good if your parents, you know what I mean, as a parent, has a limit of time so your kids can use the technology, because like I said, you know what I mean, you leave those kids too much, you messing them up, you know, you're going to invest on glasses, you know what I mean?
Right.
They might not be, I don't know, at the age of 21, they might be more blind than
they should have been, and which brings me to this. I have friends who let their children play that games all day long, and it's easier for them because
what you say?
They don't have to deal with the kids, you know, always in their face. Well, you know, it's like that, and so I can honestly
shame on you.
Well, you know,
you know better than that.
But
yeah.
I can honestly say that some of these kids, according to the Air Force did a study and said that these kids that were playing the games like they're playing 24/7 almost on Twitch and all these other platforms, PlayStation, PS4 or PS5, whatever you want to call them, these kids are blowing the scores out of the water.
Boy, that sure
because they're so good at hand and eye coordination, and they make great pilots and other machine operators. They are very good at that because of their eye and hand coordination, you know. It's just really, really amazing. And so that is a positive benefit, I suppose, from playing the games quite a bit, you know, just to be able to have this coordination that's almost like a robot, I suppose. So they're blowing the scores out the water.
Oh, snap. You didn't know?
Wow. Well, and
maybe our kids are becoming robots. That's not good.
Cyborgs. Have you seen the cyborgs? They up in the Air Force. No, anyway. But, you know, it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder what are these games doing to our kids? What are they doing to us? Because I play them too. You know, I play them when I can. I love Call of Duty. Call of Duty is one of my favorites. But I play them, and I can honestly say my reaction times are a lot faster, especially like when I'm on my motorcycle and I need to swerve. I just see it and I know I just automatically do it now. And so it's just weird how it does translate into your everyday life when you are playing those games. Now, the question I also have is, what about violent games? Do you think
violent,
you know, games where kids are just shooting each other or shooting at each other or other people, you know, online, you know?
Well, it's bad, you know, kids, you know.
Do you think it contribute or do you think it makes the kids turn violent?
If, like I said, I believe maybe it starts from the parent and see how you teach your kid, you know.
So do you? So you're saying if the kids are playing violent video games, you don't think they'll do violent things because of the video games?
Well, if you have your kid playing for 24 hours, best believe he's gonna get some violent in his head.
He may,
you know.
Yeah, he may.
So that's why I always come back to the parents. You know what I mean? How are you allowing your kid or to play that long? You know,
right.
I think as a parent, we have to work on each other first, and then teach our kids, man, to you know, just to put down the video game and not too much on the video game because
according to procon.org. Procon.org, I'm giving them a plug here. They're saying that there are a lot of young men out there and women who are behind the screen and not out there picking fights in the bars and over parking spots and stuff like that. So they don't really see a lot of linkage. They don't see a lot of video games that are violent going over to the everyday lives. And so I think it's very interesting because they don't really see a relation. They don't think playing video games that are bad or violent, they don't think it has anything to do with the children being violent or the child being violent. So it's interesting. It's a study. It's study and research, you know, it's still going on, you know, about it. So
what if your kid gets rowdy and loud? Then that game's violent.
Right.
It's towards you, you know?
Right. Well, I tell you, I was playing a game one time, and this little kid comes on there. And he's like, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to shoot you. What are you doing? Where are you located? I said, how old are you? Because it was Call of Duty, and I was playing online. He's like, I'm 10. I said, well.
Oh, wow.
I said, your parents know you playing this game? They're right here with me. I said, okay. I said, well, I'm trying to get over this hill. So these guys keep shooting at me and I don't know where they're coming. Oh, they're over the ridge over there. You go over the ridge, you duck this way, you go through the water, you climb. He knew every which way to go.
Oh, wow.
This guy, and this kid was good. I mean, you know, he was killing everybody's sniper. I was glad he was on my team because he was sniping all those guys. And I said, this guy is 10 years old and he's shooting like he's a professional sniper. You know, of course, it's in the world of make-believe of video games. But, you know, I can kind of maybe see the relationship the Air Force is saying when these kids, they get older and they come out and they go into the armed forces and they get a gun in their hand or whatever. They already somewhat know the I don't know. I don't even know the word to use. They somewhat know what to do, how to do it somewhat, versus before anyone ever picked up or even tried to shoot through a scope on a video game. You know, because when I was growing up, we had Atari. You know, we didn't have these sort of games like this. We had Atari, you know, and we didn't have those sort of fancy gadget games. You know? So it's interesting.
No, it is and stuff, you know, but, you know, let's step out, man. And now the COVID-19 is kind of scary, but you know, you can step to the park and go take your walk and stuff.
Well, what about the watches? You know, a lot of people are using their phones and the watches to track their exercising, such as walks and how many steps you've taken and stuff like that. So the technology is also helping in health.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
That's good. You know, that's good. It's helping, you know. If you use technology to help yourself, I think it's great. But, you know, just stop for a minute and just look around or what you use in technology for, the good or bad, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely can say I love it for the ATM machine. I ain't going to lie about that. You know, because when I was in the military, when I first got in, they would issue us checks. And we had to wait in line, sign the back of the check, go up to the counter, show your ID, give them a check. They had to verify as you. Then they cash the check. Now just go to an ATM machine with your ATM machine card. So that's definitely making it a lot easier for us all.
No, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I think this was a good episode. It was right at 30 minutes. We're at 30 minutes now. I think it was a great opportunity to talk about technology and what it's doing and where it's going. I just hope and pray that it continues to do great things for us and that we don't move so fast till we end up, you know, blowing ourselves off the map. You know, I think anything that's good can have a little side effects of bad, you know, badness to it. But I think if we use it properly and responsibly, it could be a beautiful thing, technology.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Pilo and Callie, I appreciate you calling in today right here at My Castle Life with the podcast of, we're gonna air this one on all three, My Castle Life, The Veterans Depot for the Veterans, and Deja Vu, because I think we've been here before. I think we've done this before. I think it's
definitely,
this technology is constantly, it's in repeat. It's also in, it's getting better and better. So we've seen it before, but just that maybe now we're seeing it better, you know. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I think it's great. It was a great topic. Thank you again for calling in here.
Anytime, brother. Yeah.
And we'll do a show again soon. I'm going to go ahead and end this one here and remain on the line. I'll come back to you, okay?
Hear ye, hear ye, all royal subjects. You've been listening to My Castle Life with the American Prince Charles III. We've come to the time of the day for the drawbridge to be raised, signaling the end of our show. Stay tuned for there's more to tell. Be honorable. Subscribe and click on the bell. And when there's news to be heard throughout the kingdom, you'll be the first we tell. Until then, farewell.